You are listening to Affirmations for Living with Edvige, where each week you're invited to join in our upbeat discussion as we look deeper into spiritually based principles that can change your life. We know that change can open doorways to new beginnings, and we are dedicated to helping you make the changes needed to improve your life. And now, here is your host, Reverend Dr. Edvige. Hello, everyone, and welcome in once again. Of course, I always want to thank you for participating. And so wherever you are, know that you are loved and appreciated for being in this moment. And so as we are in this moment, let's all just take a nice breath and be mindful so that we can truly get the message from today's guest and what spirit brings forth for us. Affirmations for Living each and every week is all about affirming a positive way of living, of finding those modalities, those principles that can inspire, uplift, and help us on our path of awakening. And so I invite you, as always, to visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. As you know, I am a transformational life coach and healer, as well a recent author of You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening. So if you haven't already gotten that, I'd invite you to do so. It's available on Amazon as well as Barnes & Noble, and it journals my awakening process and how awake I was as it's happening with all of these amazing beings visiting me. So I invite you to get that and, of course, download my app, Awakened, if you haven't already done so. And when you download that, you get free affirmations every week, as well as universal laws and all sorts of wonderful things that I send you free each and every week. So without further ado, my guest today is Michelle Avanti. She has been teaching metaphysics since 1972. Wow, that's a long time. She's a metaphysical minister and an ISAR certified astrologer, an accredited fixed star analyst, an EFT professional, and an award-winning author. Michelle mentors clients through individual consultations for both astrological and numerological predictions. Of course, 2014 coming up, so that's going to be exciting. And to learn more about the services that Michelle offers, of course, you can always visit her website, and that's astrologyandmore.blogspot.com. So welcome in, Michelle. Thank you so much for being here today.
Always an honor.
Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, there's so much to ask because you do some really fascinating things and people don't often understand astrology and numerology and all of that. So, Michelle, though I've briefly shared your bio with our audience, and it's like reading the type of, you know, taking the top off a jar before you remove the lid. Would you share what makes life valuable to you? Just share really who you are and how did you get into metaphysics back in 1972? Because that truly is cutting edge, you know, when it wasn't necessarily popular as it is today. So how did you get involved in all of this?
Well, you know, like some of the people on the planet, some of us are born where we have greater awareness, and we don't shut it down. Mm-hmm. Everyone's born with awareness, but depending on what your family environment is, it could be shut down easily. I was fortunate enough, I guess, to be born in a way that the spiritual beings that I worked with before I came into this physicality continue to work with me, and I have never lost that connection. And because of that, I searched all over for more information. I was raised in a Catholic family, and Catholics have a certain access to visions and spirituality, even though they do have very strict dogma. But because of that openness, and the fact that I had a Catholic mom and dad who were both Italian Catholics, they were very open to what are your dreams telling you, and so that allowed me to continue to have the connection I had. I was trained by spiritual beings on the inner planes from the time I was born, and they taught me so many things. And as a child, you know, the things that they teach you seem very, very simple. The very first string of pearls, I call them strings of pearls, the first statement they ever made to me was, everything is natural. That was what they told me when I was probably about 3 years old.
Wonderful.
And then I was to apply that, and that's the way we worked. And so whenever I looked at anything that I was confused about or didn't understand, I would immediately say, well, everything is natural. Now apply that. And so I would look at things. And I remember when I was little that there were a lot of children starving in Africa, and it was on the television. Televisions were relatively new when I was little. And I remember sitting there and seeing those children and thinking, well, everything is natural. How can this possibly be natural? Mm. And spiritual beings then began to help me to understand karma, individual karma, choices that souls make when they come into physicality, national karma, how national karma connects internationally, and how a group of souls can bring focus, and as a result of bringing focus internationally, they can raise the consciousness of all beings on the world. Mm. So it seems like a very simple statement, everything is natural. But if you take the time to apply it everywhere, you'll start to see the world completely differently. And that's basically how I began my path in metaphysics. I then, you know, searched. I knew in the second grade that Catholicism wasn't for me because I was being taught catechism, and they told us that anyone can baptize a baby, and then the baby will go to heaven, but if a baby is not baptized, it will stay in limbo and never see the face of God. And I thought, well, that is simply
not true.
It'd be true. But then I thought, well, let's apply it logically. And I thought, well, you know, then the greatest gift I could possibly give would be to run around into hospitals and baptize children and kill them, because then they would at least go immediately to heaven and they would see the face of God and be happy forever. And, of course, I said, well, that is the stupidest thing you can possibly think. It's insane.
A little.
And as a result of that, I said, well, Catholicism is obviously not for me. So, you know, and I would never debunk it for anyone else. That is not what I'm doing here. I'm not saying that at all. Please, please don't think that. I think each of us have a path. I think our paths are what we find right for us at this time in our state of consciousness. And there are a myriad number of reasons why you walk the path you walk. And I honor you in whatever your choice is.
Absolutely. That's lovely. You know, for me, the being started visiting that I can early recall was 12. And like you, I too grew up in a Catholic church. However, it was third grade when I finally realized it wasn't for me. So I'm a little slow.
Not really. I think we're both right in there.
Yes. Wonderful. So now tell me, would you share, in your opinion, what makes life valuable to you?
You know, I think I had this wonderful epiphany about a year or so ago where Spirit said to me, and it felt so much like it was actually Creator speaking to me, not just Spirit, but Creator took me to a place in time where it, and I call it because it's really not a gender, where it was creating this universe and this particular planet where we all currently live. Everyone that's listening, I think, lives here. At any rate, as it was creating this world, it was doing it with full intention, like you would create a treasure hunt, so that each individual who would come to this planet would be able to walk here and discover things that would amaze you and delight you. And that is the way Creator set this world up. And I can't ever get past how incredible the feeling is in my heart and soul when I feel that again. And I look out my window and think, every leaf on every tree, every sunset in every sky, every cloud, every little grain of sand on the beach, Creator put it there so there would be a treasure for me.
Mm. Isn't that precious?
So honored to be in this body and so grateful. And I think that everything around me makes it valuable.
We are so divinely loved. Yeah, that's beautiful. Now, not everyone, as you know, has such a direction and a direct connection to spiritual beings as you do. So how can we increase that connection so that we can all hear better and know more? I know I get that. People ask me that all the time. What do you tell them?
Well, you know, I think where I like to start is, do you have a friend? And everybody will say, well, I have people who I know, yes. And I'll say, well, if they call you, do you pick up the phone? And they'll say, well, normally I do. And I'll say, well, if you don't pick up the phone and they keep calling, will they keep calling you?
No.
And that's really what it's all about. The spiritual beings are constantly with you, and they're constantly speaking to you. But if you're not listening, eventually they get more silent. And as soon as you say, you know what, I do want to hear, I am listening, then you can help guide them to guide you. You can say to them, okay, here's my command to the universe. I'm making it today. All of you who are spiritual beings around me, whether you're ancestors or great masters or divine angels or whomever, you are here for the greatest experience of my world. You are here to help me go another step, and to do it as easily and as much fun and joy as I can have. So I want you to connect with me in this manner so that I can hear you every time you speak. Or when I have a question, I'll be able to use this technique. And then choose a technique that works for you. Maybe it will be you're someone who loves the radio. You love music. Okay, then make the radio your source of information. So you'll say, okay, I have this question. Go turn on the radio. And you know that Spirit is going to put in that first minute or two that that radio comes on exactly what you need to hear so that you can take your next step. You can do it through anything. You can say, well, this is my sacred book. And maybe it's the dictionary. It doesn't matter what sacred book you make the sacred book. And you say to them, when I open this book, I know you will point my eyes in exactly the direction I need to see to get the answer that I need. And it might be just, I want some guidance today. I just want you to give me some direction today. I don't have any questions. So then open the book and let your eyes fall where Spirit will direct. Mm-hmm. You can use any technique. I have a friend who said, well, I can't do any of those. She says, I got to hear it from a person. I said, so then command it to be so. And it will be.
And it will be. I tell you, for me, the music definitely is one of them. And it's so, you know, it's so funny when you said that because it's dead on every time. But I, you know, and so you find something that works and then you build that muscle. And before you know it, you'll have that inner knowing and that, you know, all other ways of communicating will open up to you. But I love the music one. That is just so funny because, yeah, I do that all the time.
And it's absolutely fantastic because it does work, and that's what it is. Then what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to channel a specific direction to hear through. It's kind of like saying, well, you know, I suppose some people could hear through the computer and some could hear through their cell phone and some could hear through their music box, but I don't know which one to use. Pick one, and Spirit will use that. They're your very best friends. They're always there for you. They will never leave you no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what you say. You can tell them how much you hate them, and they will never leave your side.
That's love. That's love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, since you've been teaching metaphysics for more than 40 years, with all of your experience, is there any one thing you could say to our listeners that might be a key to a happy, successful life?
There's one word, and I think everybody knows it, and it's love. Mm. Practice love. If you do that, your life will change. Practice love. Keep that in your mind. And when you look at something, even when it's a bill that comes in the mail, and you think, oh, Lord, how am I going to pay this? I want you to see the word love come through that piece of paper. And you will know that you are always being supported by the universe. And there will be a way to pay that bill. You may not have the answer right now. Don't use your mind. Allow love to carry you. Love is the creative force. Everything that is created is done through love. Sometimes the things that are in the mundane, that are of a negative nature, are a reversal of love. And as a reversal, they create hate. Mm. They create evil. Evil is a reversal of love. And when you look through the eyes of love, you'll see it as that. No one can create anything unless it is connected to love. That is what this universe is. And what happens when people create things of the negative nature, of the exact opposite, they do it because they are fearful that there is not love in their world. They don't feel love. So if you do nothing else, just post that across your inner eyes, that word. Carry it everywhere. You know, there's an ancient Native American saying, it's a prayer, and it is a gorgeous prayer, and it's simple. It says, I walk in beauty. Before me is beauty. To my right is beauty. To my left is beauty. Behind me is beauty. Below me is beauty. Above me is beauty. At all times, in all places, I walk in beauty. Mm. Beauty is love.
Indeed it is. Okay. I want to change pace just a little bit and move towards your recent book, because I find this just extremely fascinating. As archetypes are the central focus of your new book, Birthday Archetypes, can you show us, tell us how it works?
Yes, yes. You know, archetypes are the basis of consciousness. When we think in terms of consciousness, there are many levels. People think in terms of consciousness. If you think in terms of schooling, there are levels. Mm-hmm. You know, what a child knows in the first grade is barely anything compared to what they will know when they graduate college. Same thing with consciousness. Consciousness is ever expanding. Kind of like if you look at the difference between a dictionary for the first grade child and an adult dictionary, it is much more expansive. There are many, many, many more words. And that is how consciousness is. But in order for this world to have been created, those group of beings that worked with Creator set in mode certain geometric patterns. And those are all based on archetypes. And those archetypes are the basis that we choose when we come into physicality so that we can have the type of learning experience, the talents and the challenges that we want to have. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't interface with all the archetypes, because you shall in a lifetime, and there are many cycles. But your micro-focus, who you are and how you have chosen to focus, is based in the archetypes you came in under and chose to be a part of. And you can identify those. And what I do in my book is simply simmer it down to the first nine, which are the basis of all archetypes. All other numbers, all other archetypes are based in those first nine. The day that you were born is key. You have already told the whole universe what you will choose for talents and challenges. And as you grow, you may overcome all of them and you will master those things. But you told us that moment you chose a day. And to give an example, well, why don't you give me an example? Give me something to choose from.
My birthday, it's the 13th.
So you're born on the 13th of a month. That day is what I call the inner archetype. And you would take the 1 and the 3 and add them together, and they come to the number 4. And that tells us that you have come in under the 4 archetype, which I call the patriarch. The patriarch is the magnificent being who chooses in this lifetime to see things quickly, to know things quickly, to be able to do things quickly. They master everything they're asked to do. They always rise. They cannot stay at the bottom. They are not bottom level in any way. They're the ones who run companies. They're the managers. They're the directors. And what do they have to watch out for with this sharp, amazing mind? They have to watch out for controlling others. Because the 4 has this wonderful ability to do things so well that they have a hard time watching other people bumble through it. So they want to tell them how to do it or take it away from them and do it for them. And what they have to learn in this lifetime is that we must honor everyone's state of consciousness and allow them to choose to do it in their own way. Even if that means it will take them 5 years, that's fine.
Wow.
It's a very wonderful and challenging archetype, because what you are learning is to take control of you.
Interesting. Wow. And everything you said is so dead on. That was like, okay, very interesting. And so the challenge is to allow the process a little bit more.
It's really to not take any of what I call the lower postures of the patriarch. The lower postures are, first one would say, never mind, I'll do it myself. The second posture is to become the dictator and tell the individual exactly how to do it. You'll do it this way. This is the fastest, easiest way. Do it. Step 1 through 10. Well, that's lovely, but the individual may not be able to learn through your step 1 through 10. So you have to back away. And I do give the 4s a little secret, an easy way for you to sometimes be able to handle a situation. And without taking on their karma, and because that's what you are doing, when you tell someone how to do it and they have not asked for your opinion, and I see people do this in the grocery store where they'll see a man handling fruit and they'll just walk over to him and say, well, you know, if you pick this one, that'll be a better way to go. They don't even know they're taking on the karma, that fruit karma that man has the moment they do that. But there is a little trick you can do, and that is to simply ask. You could walk up to the man and say, would you like to know how I do that? And if he says yes, then you have the freedom to speak to him without taking on karma.
Mm.
If you don't and you continue to act out the lower postures of the 4, then what will happen is you'll start to get a pain between your shoulder blades. And it won't be a chiropractor who can really remove it, because you're taking on the weight of other people's karma and spirit is trying to tell you stop.
Wonderful information. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. You know, especially since I am a transformational coach, and so, you know, you oftentimes want to offer your advice and opinion, but I've gotten better. I actually do wait for people to ask me, so I definitely have gotten better. A good thing. I certainly don't want anyone's karma.
Well, it's a challenge, because you see things so quickly. You put all the little pieces together so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And you have another number, your outer number, and your outer number may be the same archetype or it may be a different archetype, and that one comes from adding the digit for the month of the year and then the digits that are the day of the year and then all the digits that are the year.
Okay. So April 13, 1962.
So April is the fourth month, and we're going to add that four to the four we already know you have in the center, and that gives us an eight. And then we have a one, and that makes eight, and one is a nine. And a nine plus a nine would be 18, which, of course, comes back to a nine, because any time you add any digit to a nine, you will always get the digit you added.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have the nine again, and then you said 61, did you say, or 63?
62.
62. I was on both sides of it, but not right there. So we know that 6 plus 2 is 8, and 8 plus 9 comes back to 8. So you are an 8 on the outer. And isn't that appropriate for someone who is doing the kind of work you're doing? Because the 8 is the one who brings balance, the one who brings peace, the one who is the mediator, the one who tends to look out for other people's interests above their own, and they have to be careful of that. Their desire for harmony and peace is so great that they will give away their own harmony and peace in order to make the peace for everyone else. And they have to be very careful of that, because when they do that, they tend to lose themselves, and they lose their own state of balance. And balance is everything to the eight. I call the eight the artist. And I've had people who are eights who say, but I don't paint. And I say, that is not all the art that there is. Art is vast. It is music. It is sound. It is writing. It is speaking to others on a very personal level. It is creating beauty in your home, beauty in your car. It is bringing balance to whatever you see and whatever you do. You may be a yoga instructor, and that would be artistic. On the other hand, you may be an artist.
Exactly. Yeah. I sing. I write. Mm-hmm. I have the radio show. So, wow. That's fascinating and accurate. We're going to take a short pause, and when we come back, we have to continue this. Just amazing. Stay with us, everybody.
Affirmations for Living is about affirming a positive way of living because it's your birthright to live with passion and purpose and to prosper. You will learn how to connect your higher conscious mind as Reverend Dr. Advij takes you on an inner journey of self-discovery and higher awareness while utilizing a process that releases the negative emotions that have been keeping you bound to a life that is not in alignment with who you truly are as a spiritual being. Imagine that right now in this very moment, you can learn to create limitless opportunities. What do you want? Health, wealth, happiness, to find your soul purpose? We have the tools that will support the manifestation of your dreams and desires. From our affirmations and guided meditations to our webinars and transformational spiritual life coaching, the choice is yours. To learn more, visit us at affirmationsforliving.net. And don't forget to get the smartphone app Awakened today. It's free. Change your thinking. Change your life.
Hello, everyone, and we are back. This is Dr. Advij, and we are here live with Michelle Avanti, speaking on her new book, Birthday Archetypes. And we just went over my archetype. Amazing. Thank you, Michelle. Welcome back in.
And thanks so much for having me.
This is just amazing information. And I just, so that I understand, would you just walk us through it one more time? How do we find our own archetype?
Well, it's very easy, and once you start doing it, you're going to want to do it for everybody you know, okay? Because how we interface with each other has a lot to do with our archetypes. At any rate, once you know a person's birthday, you take the first archetype that becomes very obvious is the day that they were born. If you were born on the 4th of the month or the 1st or the 2nd or the 22nd or the 28th, take the digits and make it one. Add them together. If it's the 28th, you would be a 10, which would be a 1. If you were born on the 1st, you are a 1. If you're born on the 17th, you would be an 8. If you're born on the, let's say, the 27th, you would be a 9. That's your inner archetype. That's the archetype that everybody who's close to you sees immediately. Then the outer archetype is derived from the entire date of birth. You take the month, let's say you're born in September, that would be a 9 month. You would take that 9, and let's say you were born on the 7th, you would add 9 and 7. And let's say you were born in 2004, you would take 9, 7, 2, and 4, add them together. And what does that come to? 16?
16.
Mm-hmm. 18, 19, 20, 22. Did I come up with that right?
I think so.
I'm usually pretty fast. So then you would have a 22, and then you would add the 2 and 2 together, and you would have a 4. So the outer number would be 4. So that's how you do it. It's really pretty simple, and anyone can add, so I think everyone can do it. The key is to remember it's the entire year you're adding. So if you were born in 1988, it would be 1 plus 9 plus 8 plus 8.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, you'll come out with your archetype. And my book, of course, covers all 9 of the archetypes. It explains them. It explains what you have chosen in terms of that state of consciousness and how you will translate that in this lifetime, some of the possibilities, and also what the challenges are to that state of consciousness. And I also go into explaining a little bit of what it is about that state of consciousness that you are trying to gather for your next step. So what is it that you're expanding in terms of awareness?
So could you just go over a few of the archetypes with us?
Sure, sure. Okay. Let's just start with the number 9. Let's start with the number 9.
Okay.
I like to start at the end. It's always a nice place to begin. The tail, when you think of the numbers, if you think of it as a circle, the 9 and the 1 will come back together. They're right facing each other. The 9 is what I call a bridge between heaven and earth. A person who is a 9 comes in with a tremendous intuitive nature, and they are naturally giving out information to people without even having been asked the question. It is natural for them. They are like a person who has one leg in one world and another here. And in life, they don't like to be around too many people at a time. To them, you get past 3, it's pretty much a crowd. They need time by themselves to regenerate. And there are individuals whose greatest challenge has to do with their own intuition. When they follow it and it seems to take them in a place that doesn't look right to them, they will beat themselves up and think, I should have done this, I should have done that. But that's not really true. If every day of your life you take the time to say to spirit, I walk in spirit, I will in each moment do all that I can to manifest according to the great good of the whole. If you do something along those lines each day, in whatever way you say it, then the things you do each day will be in alignment with spirit. And the 9 is naturally doing that.
Mm.
So if they have said something and they think, oh Lord, if I'd just not said that, they've opened a door that someone was trying to open but refused to. And yes, a lot of things sometimes fall out of the door when you've been stuffing things in a closet for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be very uncomfortable. But the only way we ever sort them out is if they all fall out. So they have to learn to be kind to themselves and honor their choices. So that's a little bit about a 9. Pick a number, any number.
Well, we already discussed the 8 since I'm an 8, so let's try 7.
7. You know, we have some people on the planet who are in leadership positions in this world who are 7s. Matter of fact, I think we have someone in this country, a really big leader, who's a 7. At any rate, 7s are what I call the risk takers. They're the people who drive too fast and take chances that the rest of us would look at them and say, really? They like to do things quickly. They don't like to sit still. They come into the life to experience change, and they do at one level or another. And there are times where they may find themselves saying, I wish this would slow down. I wish I just had a Leave It to Beaver life. But in reality, when it does slow down, they really don't know how to handle that, and it's not for them. They are individuals who must experience change. And that also is their greatest challenge, because when things change emotionally, they tend to be attached to outcomes that can no longer happen because something has changed, and they have to learn to let go. And it's really interesting when you think about that. Someone who wants change, and yet when it changes, they don't know how to let go. But they will work it out. That's part of their understanding. And they can't sit still that long. So they're not going to hunker down more than probably 7 years. They may give it a whole 7 cycle, but hopefully they'll change that and make it 7 minutes.
Is that the 7-year itch?
The 7-year itch is an astrological statement of truth. It has to do with the movement of Saturn in the sky. Saturn makes its full travel through all the signs every 28 years. And so, therefore, it returns to where it was at the moment of birth, of the individual's birth or the birth of a chart, which can be a business's birth or a marriage birth. And that's where we have the 7-year itch. At 7 years into a marriage, the birth chart experiences its first major challenge to the stability. Saturn is stability. And when Saturn challenges Saturn, it says, so what have you fastened down? What do you have that makes this worthy of going the distance? And it will ask you that at every level. Wow. So, yeah, that's the 7-year itch.
Interesting. Okay, I want to do my husband's. He is 8/17/1962.
Okay, so he's a 17, so he's an 8 on the inner. And so this is not unusual. People usually who are in relationships that are good relationships usually will have a link in one way or another through their numbers. And it's fascinating to do a whole family's numbers because you're going to see links again. So he is an 8 like you on the inner. And so he also has artistic needs, and he also has a need for harmony, peace, and balance, which is great, because an eight, they will both work at keeping the peace. And so if we take 8 plus 8, we have 16, which is a 7 plus 1 is another 8, and the last number here, 6 and 2, are going to be another 8. That's going to take it to 16, and he is a 7 on the outer. I don't know if you followed all of that.
Yes.
Good. Good. You're sharp. You're a 4. You should be able to. So a 7 on the outer, he is one of the risk takers. I hope he doesn't get too many tickets. I have met 7s who are highway patrolmen because they wanted to drive fast.
Oh, how funny. No, actually, he doesn't drive fast. Thank goodness.
When he was young? I'm curious.
Well, he has. He's gotten tickets, don't get me wrong, and certainly more than me. But for the most part, he's pretty good.
I always find it interesting. I have 2 nephews, and both of them are born on the 7th day of the month, both of them. And one of them is a very careful, cautious driver like his father. He likes to do things quickly, but he will not do that driving. Whereas the other one used to literally not just drive fast, he would expect the ticket, and he'd be always ready for it. And I was with him one time. I says, Michael, you have cruise control. Why did you do that? He says, Aunt Michelle, I like to drive fast, and I'm used to it, so I pay the ticket. That's my cost for driving fast.
Okay, it's his choice.
And I thought, wow, that's living a different world.
Yeah, exactly. Now, my husband eats extremely fast, and I'm like, did you even taste the food? It's a good thing he's not overweight, but yeah.
He may have Sagittarius on the 7th house. On the 6th house.
Interesting.
Yeah, we astrology is absolutely amazing because here where we're looking at the archetypes, we're seeing a basis for, it's basically your footprint. It's underlying everything. It has to do with the drive of the individual. And this way we can really come to understand each other in a very easy way. For example, if his mom is a five, your husband, if his mom were a five, she would have a real hard time understanding why he would ever drive fast or why he would eat fast or why he would do anything, take big risks. The five is what I call the learned one. They're the engineers and the librarians and the historians, and they also tend to be big animal vets and or veterinarians and medical doctors, scientists, teachers. And they're individuals who like to take their time with things and really get to the details. And I think, you know, in America today, Barack Obama is a five. Mm. And in the world today, Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, the President of Germany, Prime Minister, she is a five. And Pope Francis, the head of the Catholic Church, is a five. We have three incredible leaders in this world today who are all fives. And when I think of the one who is the chess player, the five would be the chess player. They are the individual who thinks for the long haul. They're not thinking about what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes if they do this. They're thinking about what's going to happen in the next 500 years if we do this. They are here for the long haul. And there are challenges to being a five. Major challenges, they are the warriors of the world. They are the worry wards. They may not show it. They know how to hold their own. They have a Capricorn kind of energy there, and Capricorns are known to be able to hold their emotions in. The nation of England, the United Kingdom, is a Capricorn nation, and you don't think of those people, anybody who's a Brit. You just, I'm not saying there aren't. Of course there are. But the nation as a whole, we think of them as holding their own. And five, it tends to be the worrier of the world. And they have to learn, because their mind chews on the details, they have to learn to let go of the details, to live in the present, plan for the future, make use of the past, but live in the present.
Okay, one more. What is a six?
Ah, six. That's another very good choice. Well, they're all good choices. Six is the the six is a happy number. And the six is the networker. Six is someone who is, I call them the butterfly, the social butterfly. And they're individuals who like interfacing with people. They like connecting people. They like being the little link between situations and people and experiences. Their challenge is choices. They come in to experience choices, and by linking people together, you're experiencing all kinds of choices. Mm. But their challenge is to make the commitment once they see the choice. There's an issue there that when they make the commitment, they feel like they're giving up all their freedom, and they have to realize freedom has to do with who you are, not where you are.
Interesting.
It's very different.
Now, I have a question. How does that relate to your birth sign? So does your archetype correlate
to
your...
It's going to add another dimension to it. Remember, the birth sign in the Western world, we talk about, you know, your sun sign as being so powerful and so dominant. It really is not the powerful or dominant thing unless it is tremendously supported in the chart. Years ago, I had a woman come into one of my classes at the time I was teaching astrology, and she says, well, this is just a bunch of bunk astrology. Why are you teaching this class, and why are you an astrologer? I says, and why do you think it's just a bunch of bunk?
Yeah, really, why are you there?
Exactly. Anyway, she just came in as my class was ending, and I said to her, I said, so what sign are you? She says, well, everything I've ever read about Cancer is not me. And you could tell just by how she was talking. She was definitely had none of this Cancer energy, because Cancer is very kind and more, what do I want to say, nurturing. They're very nurturing, and they would never attack you. This woman came in and literally she was on the attack. She was angry at astrology for not telling her who she was. She was literally upset about it.
Wow.
And I says, well, you have to understand that first, the sun sign doesn't necessarily tell you all about who you are, and it can be mitigated. And obviously, your sun sign is mitigated heavily in your chart. I said, let's do your chart and see what's happened to your poor dear son. And so I quickly did her chart on the big board I had in there, because you know I can. Table it if you can give me the time of birth without using an ephemeris. And I said, well, we can see your son has been locked up in the eighth house, and it is conjunct and dominated by Pluto. I said, you're a Scorpio. You're a Scorpio hidden under the cover of Cancer.
And she's the tail part of the Scorpio.
And she just stopped and looked at me, and she said, you're right. She says, that fits me.
Well, there you have it.
You said astrology is always right. It is amazing. If you have the exact time of your birth, there is nothing an astrologer can't tell you except the things that you still have as choices, which would be the day of your death. An astrologer cannot tell you that.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
It is. It's pretty incredible. But if you're going to look and really say, well, I want to just look and see, you know, who I am, I'd say look at your moon. Your moon is going to show more of who you are than your sun.
And, well, obviously you would have to understand how astrology works to know what your moon is. Is that based on where the moon was at your birth? I mean, what
yes.
does it mean?
Yes, all the planets and all the luminaries are connected to that exact moment of your birth. And the moon moves very rapidly, as everyone knows. Every 28 days, it goes through all the signs. So every 2 days to 2.5 days, it's gone through a sign.
Mm.
And so all you need to do is just, you could go online and look it up, and in a matter of seconds, you would know where your moon was at the moment you were born.
Interesting. Okay. I'll have to do that.
You don't know where your moon was?
No. I know I was born April 13 at 8:30 p.m., 1962.
Let's see if I can grab an ephemeris in my dark room here. And I will quickly look your moon up. April 13, so you are right there almost in the, well, you're kind of in the middle to late part of Aries.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't surprise me that we would get along so nicely, because I am an Aquarius. So 1962, let me just pull it down. Astrologers have these big books that actually cover a whole century, and inside them, each month of the year is there, and then you look across on the day that you were born, and it will tell you where your moon was. And your moon is in Leo. You have a very supporting moon. Your sun, 22 degrees of Aries, and your moon, depending on what time you were born, was somewhere between 5 and 11 of Leo. So your mom and dad get along pretty well. They're not totally in sync, but they get along pretty well, and they can communicate. And that's a lovely thing. Not everybody's mom and dad can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
That, of course, gives you a relatively good balance between the masculine and feminine sides of who you are. And that's a lovely thing.
True.
So you,
and, of course, being an eight, I like balance. So that would make sense.
Yeah. So you picked good parents, it sounds like.
Yes, I did.
Well, we don't all do that. You know, we pick parents for a lot of reasons, a lot of lessons that we can learn, the ways to bolster up our strength, even though it looks like we're being torn down. There's a lot of reasons why we pick parents.
Mm-hmm. Very
interesting. But, you know, having your moon in Leo, you're a person who loves to have fun. You love to entertain. You love to go out and socialize. You love to network. You love to do creative things. There's a lot of creativity in Leo, is the creative sign.
Interesting. interesting. Quite interesting. So tell us more. Your book, is it currently available?
Yes. Unfortunately, I haven't made it. I haven't decided yet if this is going to be an advanced reading copy or it's going to be the complete copy, because I already have ways that I want to edit it and make it bigger. But it is available in Kindle format on Amazon, and it is available in a soft cover either on eBay. You can put it in on eBay or at my blog. You can go to my website, which is astrologyandmore.com, and just click right up at the top. It'll show you the blog. So you just click on the blog, and there you'll find all kinds of information, because I keep the blog current, and I haven't redone my website for a long time. I have to get that up.
So now, in your book, if we look up our archetype, it's going to be really complete as far as both the positive and negative aspects of who we are.
Absolutely. And then it at the end of each chapter, it will actually tell you talent and challenge. And it will also give you a little list of some of the famous people who have those numbers. So you kind of can get a feel for that. I think you'll find that when you look at the famous people who have the similar numbers, you're going to find an affinity to those people, because frequency meets frequency. Mm-hmm. Your numbers or your archetypes are a particular frequency. And what happens is we are drawn to others with the same kinds of frequencies.
Makes sense.
The nature of frequency.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to your chapter, which is chapter 8, I have the book in front of me. It's a little tiny book. It was designed so that you could put it in a purse and take it with you, so that when you meet people, you could quickly figure out what the best way for you to interface with them would be. But if we look at famous artists, famous eights, Elvis Presley is right at the top.
I love Elvis.
Yes. And let's see, George Llewellyn, you probably don't know who he is, but he's the most famous in America astrologer. Richard Avedon, you probably know who he is. He is a very famous photographer. Pearl Buck is an eight, a wonderful writer. Julianne Hough, I don't know if you know who she is. She's on Dancing with the Stars. And her brother Derek, they're both eights.
Oh, I met him.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Well, he's an eight. And, of course, he's a fantastic dancer. All of these people are artists. Bob Dylan is an eight. Edgar Casey.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Alison Dubois. I don't know if you know who she is. She is a person who's become famous as a spiritual medium. They used to have a show on called The Medium. And she is a criminal medium. She's an investigator for the CSI in Phoenix, Arizona. But an interesting eight, General Patton. He was always known to be a highly intuitive man and always trying to bring things into balance. He is a very interesting set of numbers, General Patton. Nostradamus was an eight.
Wow.
Mother Teresa was an eight. So that's a few of the eights that are out there.
Interesting. And so now, are you an eight your entire life?
Well, yes, that's the footprint, you know. But just because it's your footprint does not mean that you don't grow into other things or expand it. The spiritual being who trained me from the time I was born and who I have known for more than 500 years, who has been training me for over 500 years through many lifetimes, if you asked him, he would say, I am all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And as we expand, that's what we do, as we master each one. And there are many levels of mastery. If you are a person who has studied any numerology, you've heard of master numbers. Master numbers are when the numbers are double digit. So instead of you being just an 8, you would be an 88.
Okay.
So there are many levels of mastering everything or anything. The game is a long game.
It's a long game. And so each lifetime, then you choose a different archetype because these are all the different lessons and all the different personalities and everything that you're here to expand and experience.
You may or you may not, just as we do with the signs. There's a saying in the Far East that you may have heard of it, the Wheel of the 84.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wheel of the 84 says that we will come into 84 times in each sign before we can master the Great Wheel.
That's a lot of incarnations.
It is. Some of us have come through a lot of them already.
Yes, indeed. Hallelujah, is all I can say. Yes, indeed. So, your viewpoint of where we are in this moving into the golden age, I'd be interested in to know what your feelings are on that.
You know, this is just a wonderful and terrible and challenging and fantastic time that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was back in around the time of the 1930s where the doorway began to crack open. And it takes about 100 years or so to really move into the next state of consciousness or the next yuga. As we talk about this, is coming into the golden age of the last of the yugas. And for those listeners who don't know what a yuga is, it's a measurement of time in the Far East. It's a way that people have measured time in terms of creation, that the planet itself has to go through a certain number of cycles before it will expire. And we are coming into the last of those cycles. Which, don't worry about it, it's long. We're talking like 330,000 years, but nonetheless. That consciousness started to break around the 1930s, and there are a lot of things when you look back that you can look at and say, yes, you can see it. The issue of the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah is an ancient book, a book of mysticism that was carried by the Israelites back in the time of Egyptian imprisonment. And it is believed, and for me, I simply know, that the Kabbalah is a book of consciousness that was written in the time of Atlantis, and it was carried forward, and the tribes of Israel were the people who carried it. In the 1930s, it was finally cracked open for the world to see. A fantastic rabbi said, it's time for people to know what's in this book, mm-hmm. not just people who are rabbis. And he started to make it public. And that was an opening of consciousness. The consciousness had to be ready to accept that. And it's taken all these years to get to a point where you could probably talk to a lot of people today and they would even know what the Kabbalah is. They might not know what's in it, but they would know the word. And that's huge. That's a step in consciousness. Where we are now, the children that at the ending of Atlantis, who says, we are not going to continue in the path of materialism. We refuse to become more material than we have been. But we will wait, and we will return when it's time to turn you back. They are in here on the planet and continue to come in by leagues now. They are coming back. These are the children that the world is discovering, the psychic children. There is no country in the world where aren't children who are stepping up to the plate and doing things that children have never done.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're back. Those are the children from Atlantis, the ones who would not continue to reincarnate into the materialism that we have reincarnated into, which was moving or devolving consciousness to a point where it reached such a depth that we have no understanding or recollection that we are divine. That is where we have reached. And there are still people on this planet who do have no concept. They may even be part of a religion, but they still do not understand that they are more than this physical body, and that every single thing on this planet is more than it appears. Whether it is a grain of sand It is the leaf on a tree, or it is a little dog running in the street. They are divine.
Mm-hmm.
So we are stepping into that, and as we come into the golden age, which may be still, if you take 100 years from 1930, you would be 2030, it may still be at least that far away. And it is a slow evolving. It is not an instantaneous. Many people say, well, won't we just wake up? Years ago, people would say on December 21st, 2012, we'll all wake up and we'll be in this new world. And I would say, well, I would love to see that. And yes, at some level of consciousness, we will cross that bridge. But into the physicality and the awareness here in the physical, it's unlikely. So it's a lot of steps that we take. And you have to remember, spirit sometimes also slows the process down because we are trying to gather all the people on
Absolutely.
The planet. And so the process sometimes has to be slowed down. We are balancing a lot of things. Stepping beyond karma is something that has been going on for the last 30 years. And individually, many people still do not understand that they have the ability now to simply leave the karma behind, dissolve it, step on. We have that now. So there's a lot of things that have to take place, but you can witness it. And, of course, the young people, they call them the millennials, which I think is hysterical. I love the name millennials. There's something so lovely about it. They are, many of them are the children from Atlantis who are coming to wake up the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at our world where we are today, the consciousness, the state of California, in the state of California, we have now a whole new series, a new type of corporation. It's a corporation that is not a non-profit corporation. It is a for-profit corporation that is a service-oriented corporation. It takes into account its community and the needs of the community. Wow, that's a step in consciousness.
Yes.
We have a lot of things. You have to step back from the world and just look at them the way spirit sees them. And you'll see the so many steps in consciousness that when you start to feel under the weight of the materiality, and everyone has experiences where we feel this, we're human beings. You step back and you will stop feeling that again. You will start to realize that we are moving in consciousness. We are expanding consciousness. It is so different. And that's what the polarity is in the United States today. And the United States is not alone. We only see the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But other nations are having the same kinds of polarity issues. They're same in terms of frequency, different in terms of particulars. In China today, many, many uprisings in the corporate world. There are many people who are demanding, whole groups are demanding raises in income, and they're getting them. They are demanding more freedom, and they will get that freedom. The world is changing.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are the ones we've been waiting for, and we are the ones that will create the new earth.
Yeah, it's fantastic to watch. Mm-hmm. The whole issue of patriarchy is falling away, and that's what the fight in the United States is for, those who want to hang on to the patriarchy. You can't hang on to it. It will be taken from you. It is always best to let go and walk forward. If you can remember nothing else, do that.
Absolutely. And that's a wonderful place to end this. Any final words or pearls of wisdom?
I think they're ones I'm sure you have said many times, but I will say them again. Love yourself and love everyone and everything in your world, no matter how it appears. Honor it, love it, and do what your heart tells you.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Michelle. What a joy this has been. I so appreciate your time. Thank you.
I'm so honored. Thank you so much for allowing
what little voice I have to speak out to
a beautiful
the wonderful
voice.
Beings who are listening.
Thank you. Take care. Be blessed.
I am. Thank you. You too.
Okay. So there you have it, everyone. What a wonderful, wonderful episode it has been with Michelle Avanti. Her book, again, Birthday Archetypes. So you can find that on eBay or her website. And her website, again, is astrologyandmore.com. Affirmations for Living, as you know, is all about affirming a better way of living. It's about discovering your true, authentic self. So as you know, I am here to assist you on your journey. So once again, please visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. There you'll see that I offer transformational life coaching. I also do healing energy work on you. So if you're ready to activate your full divine potential, I can assist you on your journey. If you haven't already gotten my book, You're Not Crazy, Your Awakening, please do so today and download my app, Awakened. If you are in the Las Vegas area, I will be at the Ganesha Center tomorrow, which is December 12th from 6 to 7:30. I will be doing a book signing, as well as I will be singing some Christmas songs. Of course, me being an eight, and I love to sing. And so I will be sharing that with everyone tomorrow. So if you're in town, please stop by and visit. Until next time, take care, be blessed, know that you are loved and appreciated. This is Dr. Advij, signing off. You've been listening to Affirmations for Living with Advij. Join us again next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit my Facebook page, download my app, Awakened, and visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. And remember, be the change that you want to see. Until next time, this is Reverend Dr. Advij. Namaste.